A long time ago, we used to hear the old folks tell us, our old people, they used to tell us about these things that I am going to tell. And every time that we would gather, they would start telling stories. And this is one that I am going to tell that has been told a good many times. And it was about they were called the Stone Coat, and they were by themselves. They were from around the mountains, mountainous areas, and they were around the rocky country. They mostly lived around the rocks, and that's why they called them Stone Coat, because they had on a dress or a coat made of stone, all heavy stone. And so this is what I'm going to tell about what happened a good many years ago. So these people, all these Indians, were gathered in their own village, and they would go out hunting. They'd get a whole bunch of young men and go out hunting every so often, so they'd all have enough skins to dress in and skins to keep them warm. And then they would take the meat, and they never wasted a thing. They'd take the meat and cook up the meat and dry some of it and carry it for their own use. And so this was the Indian way of living. And so this one day, they were getting pretty low on provisions, on their meats and whatever they had in a line of wild game. So they started out one morning early, and the men all went. There must have been at least 15 or 20 men that went together, and they'd go hunting in groups like this. And so when they went out into the fields and into the woods to hunt, it was a slow process. They walked slowly and cautiously to see who would get the first wild game. Well, as days went by, one or two days went by, they hadn't killed a thing. And so they kept seeing this man following them, a big man. And they kept seeing him, and every time they'd stop, he'd stop. And so they kept seeing him following along. So this night they settled there at their camp. They made a small camp and they settled there. And then he kept coming closer that night, and it seemed like he wanted to be with them. So he finally came up close to their camp, and they let him in. And at first they were all afraid of him, all scared of him. And he told them, he says, "I won't harm you." He says, "Let me come with you and be with you." He says, "I won't harm you." And he says, "Don't be afraid of me." So the people started talking to him. And he seemed to be all right. And he said, the next morning, he says, "If you let me go hunting with you," he says, "you'll catch more game and kill more game than you ever had in all your life." And he said, "I know how to do these things." And he said, "If you just let me go along." So they promised that they would let him go along. Of course, they didn't believe what he said, but they said that they would promise that he could go along so that he could help them. So the next morning, they all got up real early at dawn, and they left their camp, and they all went hunting for the day. Well, it wasn't too long till they all had their bags full. They all had their leather bags full of all kinds of meat, all kinds of skins. They had everything they wanted, and it was just a chore for them to haul it and carry it. And there was just so much of it. There was an abundance of everything for them. So they made camp early, and they all fixed themselves something good to eat early. And they were all filled again. And this man that kept following them was there, and he seemed to enjoy their company. And he stayed right round, and then he told him, he says, "Didn't I tell you," he says, "that if you take me along, that you would get all kinds of game?" And they said yes, and they said that they thought he was very good to do this for them. But one of the young men was kind of funny, and he thought he would be funny toward this man, the Stone Coat. And so he said to him, "I bet you," he says, "that you can't catch me." And the stone colt said, "Well," he says, "I don't intend to catch you." And he says, "I'll bet if I hit you, you'd run and catch me. Can't you run?" And he says, "Why," he says, I don't feel like catching anybody." And the young man said, "Well," he says, "take this." And he hit him. And it hurt his hand because he hit him, because it was that stone dress he hit. Well, then he was just getting smarter and smarter. And so the boy got up there and went ahead of the rest of them and hid in the tree, got up in the tree. And so the stone colt came along, and he thought, "Well, I've got to find that boy, see where he went." Then the stone colt reached into his pocket, and he pulled out this finger and laid it on his hand. And he said, "Where did that kid go?" And the finger stood right up and pointed right up into the tree. And, of course, the stone colt couldn't move his neck or his head to look up there, and he couldn't find him. And he kept saying, "Where did he go? Where is that young man?" And so it would point right up into the tree, and he couldn't look up there. So finally the boy decided this was just too much, and he come sliding out of the tree, and he jumped onto the ground, and he went around and run a little ways. And then he thought, "Well, that man's too slow anyway. I think I could take that away from him." So he came back around there, and he grabbed that finger right off that man's hand. And then he started to run with it. And that man hollered, and he says, "Bring it back. Bring it back. That's mine." He says, "That's what helps us. And we can't get along without that." He says, "Bring it back here." And he says, "It's mine to keep." He says, "You can do anything else you want, but," he says, "bring that back." So the boy came back slowly, and he said, "Well, I want you to make me a promise." He says, "If you promise that you will find me a real pretty woman that I could marry, well, then I'll give it back to you." And the stone colt said, "Yes," he says, "I can go back to my village, and I can bring you a pretty wife," he said, "that you can marry." So the boy said, "Well, you better do that, and you bring her back just as soon as you can." So the stone colt said, "Well, yes," he says, "you see that field over there? You see those rocks way back?" And the boy said, "Yes." He says, "Well, that's where I live." And he says, "I'll walk over there and get you the girl." So he did. He left and went down there to get the girl. And he brought her back the next morning. He came back the next morning, and they could hear these twigs breaking, and like something heavy was coming close by to their camp. And then finally, the boy said, "There he is. He has got a girl." He brought the girl, and he said to him, "Here is the girl that you want to marry." And he says, "You'll have my blessings," he says, "because it's my daughter." And the boy looked at her, and he seen she had a stone dress on too, and he said, "I don't want her." He says, "I can't marry her, because she's a stone coat too. She's wearing a stone dress." And he says, "I can't marry her." So the man was pretty much disappointed, and he said, "Well, I guess there's nothing more I can do for you." But he said, "We want to be friends." He says, "We all want to be friends, and we want to see each other again." He says, "I don't hold no grudge against anybody, and I want you to feel the same toward me." He says, "We want to help you, and same as if you could help us with something." And so they talked about it, and he said, "When you get back to your camp, if you will take your bundles and you hit them 3 times on the ground, they will fill up again," he says, because he had already hit them 3 times on the ground, and they had all dwindled down to just a little package, and it was so hard for them to carry before, they could hardly carry it. So what he did was, explained to them what they should do when they got back to their camp, that they would have all their meat back and all their skins and everything to keep them warm. And this was, when they parted friends, this was the end of that journey that they took.